Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. I've truly waited for this moment. There's enough people here on the Met payroll to make this list, predicting in order the five ex-Yankees that will have the best Met seasons in 2026. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Carlos Mendoza. Chance he's fired by June, so we're going to put him here at number five.
He is, of course, a former Yankee bench coach.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
Devin Williams. I think he's going to have some ups with the Mets, but here's the problem. I think the downs now become magnified so much more with the departure of Edwin Diaz, and I'm curious how he handles it.
Well, he is in the same situation that he was last year. He's the closer with Luke Weaver lurking behind him. So from that standpoint, it's the same, but you're right. Now, I've mentioned this before. He is filling the shoes of, in my opinion, the most reliable closer the Mets had in the last 30 years. And those are big shoes to fill.
Big shoes. All right, here we go.
Number three.
Clay Holmes. I think he'll be built up stronger as a starter here in year two. I actually think Clay Holmes is going to be a very solid number three starter for the Mets. Nothing wrong with that.
He was a solid starter a year ago. I don't think any of us knew what to expect. Yeah. And he obviously finished incredibly strong with his best performance coming in game 161.
Yep. All right, here we go.
Number two.
A shocker that this is not number one, but number two is Juan Soto. And I only say this because who's going to be driving him in after he walks a million times?
Look, he right now, with the way this lineup is set up, may walk 200 times. It's why I have suggested, and you will hear it again and again and again, that Juan Soto needs to be the leadoff hitter for the New York Mets.
Okay.
Number one.
And number one for me is Luke Weaver. I'm dying on this hill. Luke Weaver will ultimately be the Mets closer by season's end. And I think any Yankee fan laughing at the Mets today about this is going to be pissed off when he's not a Yankee this summer.
What I wonder about with the Yankees is that in Soto's case, you wanted the guy back and you knew he was a great player. So whatever jealousy there was, like, you knew Juan Soto was great. We all know he's a wonderful player. In the case of Devin Williams and Luke Weaver, as former Yankees joining the Mets, you didn't want Devin Williams back. I know you did specifically, but most Yankee fans didn't.
I actually wanted both these guys back.
Right. Luke Weaver is a guy who had some good moments with the team. Like, if both of those guys are locked down, like, if they're great, if they're fantastic, is it going to bother you? Or is it going to be like, eh, whatever. Doesn't faze you.
Juan Soto bothers you in a different way. It bothers you more because the Yankees at that time never lost the big free agent. So Luke Weaver or Devin Williams, whether I love him or another Yankee fan loves him, they weren't the big free agent. So it's hard to say it would bother every Yankee fan as much. Weaver to me would bother me because it felt like that was a true Yankee find. Mm-hmm. And just to lose him, watch him walk away to the Mets and become like a dominant reliever again. It not as much as Soto, but it will bother me.
Yeah, no, and that was a great find. Because remember when the Yankees picked him up, he was a failed starting pitcher who was bouncing around the league and he was 29 years old. And it was like, what is he? Basically like when the Mets signed guys like Brandon Waddell. It's like, whatever. They made him a reliever, and as you saw and you said, he was one of the most reliable relief pitchers during their run that got them all the way to the World Series. And then last year, it felt like it came out of nowhere. He got off to a great start, got hurt, came back too quick, and it screwed him up. And I don't know if it was, I mentioned this earlier, I don't know if it was the mechanics being messed up from rushing back from a hamstring issue. I don't know if it was pitch tipping or if it was simply the league figured him out. Yeah. I certainly hope it's not the latter, because if that's the case, the Mets are in trouble. Totally. But if it's one of those two things and it's easily fixable and he can get back to what he was first half of 25 and all of 24, then the Mets have a find.
The Mets have something. Now, Citi Field is going to be put to the test here, though, Evan, because there was kind of like an underlying fan argument about, was it just the trumpets, or does Citi Field just do a better job of in-game entertainment to make these pitcher entrances sound bigger? They did a great job at Helsley, even though that kind of felt funny when he stunk. Can Citi Field make the song Dream Weaver cool?
No, it doesn't work. Dream Weaver doesn't work. And I get that's his name. Ha, ha, ha. Doesn't work.
Do you think they abort Dream Weaver and go to Luke and go, we need a new song?
Look, dude, I've said this before, and I don't know Luke personally, but I'm going to give this advice to anyone who wants to take it. Roman Reigns' theme song needs to be the song of a closer. The whole build-up. Like, dude, it's perfect. So I don't know if Luke's a wrestling fan, but we will acknowledge him as our tribal chief once he comes out with the Roman Reigns theme song.
I'll see if he's lukewarm about that.
I'm going to write that one down. We have all the Sean Morash puns all together. Now, real quick, I have this brilliant idea for the NBA Cup. We'll get to your calls. We'll hear from Boomer, all that. I think one of the issues that the Cup had last night was Las Vegas was tepid. It didn't have an electricity.
Certainly during introductions. It felt bigger in the fourth quarter, but yeah, it was missing something.
It was missing something. And so what they're doing next year, for those that are not aware, is the semifinals are no longer in Vegas. Next year, the semifinals are going to be in the home arenas.
Okay.
That's fine. So the Nick Magic game, instead of being in Vegas, would have been in Orlando. I am not in favor of the championship game being at a home arena, and I'll tell you why. Imagine last night was at Madison Square Garden. Does anyone think it really would have worked? Like, you're telling me the Garden fans would have just made believe it was a bigger deal? And can you imagine the confetti coming out of Madison Square Garden?
Do you think there's a higher resale value on a game like that?
No.
Season ticket holder?
I don't. And I think it feels too normal, too regular. It's got to be unique. So if it's not Las Vegas, Evan, I'm making believe I'm you, what makes it unique? And I have an idea. The atmosphere would be incredible. Every year, we pick a neutral site, except the neutral site are famous, historic college basketball venues, starting with Cameron Indoor, continuing with Hinkley in where Butler plays.
Isn't it Hinkle Fieldhouse?
Hinkle Fieldhouse!
Do I have that right?
Hinkle Fieldhouse, where Butler plays, continuing with Rupp Arena.
And then eventually you can get to Madison Square Garden, home of St. John's.
No. You're not hearing my idea. College venues, not arenas that host college games. Can you imagine the atmosphere? Because these college kids are just going to be pumped up. They're going to be, oh, are you kidding me? Like Cameron Indoor is going to get an NBA game? Can you imagine the excitement in one of those venues? These, no, they're not drunk because they don't serve alcohol. These fired up college kids?
These oil checkers?
Like, tell me, and don't kiss my butt, be honest. Tell me how brilliant that idea is.
I think it's brilliant because I've seen somebody have this idea about the NFL and not playing all these international games, but bringing them to like certain SEC schools and stuff. And I think that plays out. I thought that was a great idea. So why wouldn't these smaller college kids on top of UVA? I think that would just make it pop because the environment would be going nuts.
I'll tell you why it's better than football. Tell you why. Because football, like college football stadiums are like NFL stadiums in terms of how big they are. What would make this unique is a 5,000 seat on top of you gym.
That would be, it would be jumping. Yeah,
It would just, because I think what the Cup needs is uniqueness. Like putting that last night at Madison Square Garden, it just wouldn't have worked. Because, again, it would have fallen into it's a regular season game. That's what it would have been.
You got to make it feel special.
You got to make it feel special. And they tried to do that with Vegas. The problem is, what's special about Vegas other than Vegas? The arena's not special. The people there aren't special. I think college kids filling historic college venues would make it incredibly special.
We're on to something there, Evan.
You like that one?
I do like it.
You like that one, Tommy? Is that a good idea?
I love it. One of your best ideas.
Thank you.
Everything about it, tremendous.
Thank you. Because you got to pick something that's different. And so I was racking my brain last night. Okay, what's different? Like, do we just pick random arenas and we go there? No.
What sucks is you can't really do with basketball an outdoor game. You know, like the Winter Classic.
So I thought about the outdoor game because it is unique.
It's tough to pull off.
You'd have to do it in warm weather places, and then you got to worry about rain, and it doesn't.
Well, Evan and I talked about this during COVID in the bubble, and we talked about outdoor arenas hosting it instead of a bubble, like Rucker Park or maybe somewhere on the West Coast in California. I love that idea, too, from the aesthetics, but you're not going to get the sound that you're going to get like Cameron Indoor and the college kids, which will make the atmosphere.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. And I think that last night when it came out that the NBA didn't sell the venue out and they were handing out tickets and they had seat fillers, one of the things that got leaked out is, oh, that's common. They do that with all big events, even like championship games in the NFL. Like, it's just we want it to look good on TV. a venue like that will pop on TV.
Totally.
It'll just pop. In fact, I'll bring John Cena into this. When you think of all of John Cena's moments as a professional wrestler, I'm not saying it's number one, but it's definitely top five or top ten, was when he appeared at the Hammerstein Ballroom for an ECW event and took on Rob Van Dam. And the whole crowd was filled with drunk, ridiculously high ECW fans in a very small venue. And I remember watching that at home saying, this is unique. It feels different.
I'm unaware that ever happened. Is that available online to watch anywhere?
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the name of the event? One Night Stand.
One Night Stand.
It was the second one of One Night Stand. Yep. The first one was in the same venue and it was great.
Yep.
But the second one included John Cena. And I thought, jokes aside, like someone was going to kill him. Like, it was so, we hate you.
Yeah, some guy had, if Cena wins, we riot. Cena would always throw his T-shirt into the crowd. Somebody actually threw the T-shirt back at him. It was perfect.
So Cena obviously was always beloved by WWE fans, and ECW fans rooted against him.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, it was always 50-50 with Cena as far as fan reaction is positively, but it was 100% negative in ECW.
And what's crazy is that match was whatever. But the atmosphere made it unique. And the atmosphere made me bring it up 20 years later to say, hey, of all of John Cena's moments, that really jumps out at me because it was so unique. So imagine last night, instead of the Knicks winning this NBA Cup in an antiseptic arena in Las Vegas, they're at Cameron Indoor? Oh.
The kids with the shirt offs. Shirts off.
Say that again.
Shirt offs. Shirts off. Maybe get Dickie V on the call.
Yeah, throw it out there.
Yeah, baby.
And obviously the last thing, which I think we all agree, is something needed to be on the line. So I think the easy thing to put on the line is you win all tiebreakers. So it's nothing crazy. It's nothing major. It's not, you know, changing everything. But if the Knicks and the Pistons finish tied for the number one seed, even if the Knicks lose the season series, winning the cup would supersede everything. And that gives you the tiebreaker. Same thing for San Antonio. So I think it's a small thing, but I think it's a fair thing to at least have a reason for the basketball fan to say, hey,
right,
we get this as a team. So those are my two ideas.
You're on to something. You should sit down with Adam Silver.
Thank you. Maybe I should. Let's go to Steven in the Jersey Shore. What's up, Steven?
Hey, Evan. Love the show. I love the idea about doing it at the college stadiums. However, Adam Silver already floated this idea 2 days ago. The New York Times had an article.
Are you kidding me? He already had the... let me Google this.
Oh, my God. I'm getting the tweet now.
Let me Google this.
He said it on Amazon Prime.
Ah, damn it.
Evan. You know who the true MVP is? Adam Silver.
Adam Silver says some storied college locations are under consideration. Damn it!
Uh-oh.
I knew it was too good to be true. I swear I didn't steal
Evan.
It. All right, you want me to wear it out?
Evan, I've seen you claim that you forget I've said certain things in the office and bring them to air.
Can I ask you a question?
This is a bad job.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
You've been working with me for 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
How many times do I come on the air and say, hey, great idea from blank? I'm not one to rip someone's ideas off, especially one that was that out there.
Evan, there
but you know what?
There have been two or three times you have said something. I said, remember when I said this to you in the office? You go, huh? You never said this to me in the office?
I swear to you. And this is a bad job as being the new executive producer of Evan and Tiki. So this is not good for me. I swear I didn't see this, which is bad by me. I should have seen it.
And you have every bit of sound from Amazon Prime.
I have every bit of sound from last night, from the last day, and I'm looking at the clip right now. I'm going to send it to Tommy so we can hear from Adam Silver.
This is a bad job, Evan.
I'm already taking it out. What more do you want from me? Now you're just being a jerk.
I'm not being a jerk.
I just texted you the tweet. We will now hear from Adam Silver stealing my idea that I probably created 2 weeks ago, but somehow he got it before I said it on the air. Well, good idea, Adam.
Well, I guess it's heading in the right direction.
But I promise you I didn't steal it. Okay. But I'm still wearing this stupid L just to make you happy. Let's go to Ray in Wappinger Falls. What's up, Ray?
How we doing, Evan?
What's up, man?
Can you taste it? Dude, this loser city finally has a championship. And I'm listening to Beningo, Monday, about not wanting to win anything. And I was hoping Tiki was in because, all jokes aside, I mean, you got to think. You saw how happy they were last night. You got to think somewhere down the line, it's got to help them gel or build, right? When you get to these moments in the season, at the end of the season, even though we're laughing about it, and we haven't won anything in how long, it's still a championship.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no. But I do like the whole, can it help down the line? It can't hurt. That would be my answer. Now, we have very limited data on winning the NBA Cup. Like, we have the Pacers. Not the Pacers. Was it the Pacers?
The Pacers lost to the Lakers in the first one.
That's right. The Lakers and then the Bucks. And both teams lost in the first round of the playoffs. So, obviously, it did not help them the following year or that season. So, if you're looking for direct results, they're not there. But I would say the Knicks' experience, especially coming back in the fourth quarter, beating a good team like this, going to Vegas, I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Well, and those, as I said, those other two champions technically had some cores of the team that already won championships. This Knicks core didn't. They could become the first core to use this as the jumping point to actually win one.
Here's Adam Silver stealing my idea on Amazon Prime. I think this was actually last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was during the pregame.
So it was last night?
Correct.
All I had to do was give this idea before the show, before our show ended, and I would have been exonerated. And
Adam Evan, it's hard to believe that you didn't see this on the broadcast last night.
I swear to God, I didn't.
But you see everything. You're the guy. You're the new executive producer of NBC.
If I saw it, here's what I would have done. I swear on anything. I would have pulled the audio, as Connor knows. I sent him and Lugie 150 clips this morning.
Yeah, don't ask
And
him
I would have
pizza.
Said, hey, we're going to play Adam's idea. It's actually Adam Silver's best idea. I wouldn't have stolen it as my own. I actually feel like an idiot now. But anyhow, here's Adam Silver.
We're talking with Amazon Prime about whether it makes sense to maybe go to some unique locations for the final game. They've suggested, for example, some like storied college arenas. So we're just looking at other ways we could do this.
God,
so it's actually Amazon Prime's idea.
I'm telling you, I had this written down on my document page for like a week.
So somebody at Amazon Prime came up with that idea.
Yeah, maybe. Did I text Ian this idea at some point?
Or did you say it during a drunk Rico? Does anyone else know this idea? Did you share it with anybody that could have leaked it to Amazon?
Honestly, I don't think I said it. The only thing I know I did, which I can't prove, is I had it written down on my little show sheet I have for over a week.
No.
But I never got to it. I figured I'd wait until the cup was over. But you know what? I'm wearing the L because no one will believe me, and I will die on whatever. I'll take the L.
I believe you.
I'll take the L. I hope that I've proven enough that when we play audio and I give people credit that I wouldn't just blindly steal that alien's idea.
No.
Adam Silver looks like an alien. And no, Stan Van Gundy, we don't deport them.
Can we just all understand, and Lou Gowery, you've been in those meetings that have been. Evan, going forward, now you know, if we ever come to you with something we heard, something you said, the reaction can no longer be, hey, you think I didn't have that? Because now we know definitely proof there are things you miss.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I am not perfect. You're correct. Let's go to Nick in Staten Island. Hey, Nick.
Steak here.
What's up, Nick?
What's up, gentlemen? I was calling about the Yankees and the Mets.
Yeah.
Giant Yankee fan. I think what you guys are saying about Luke Weaver is 1,000% true. He's going to be awesome this year. I think he came back from that injury too fast. And us as Yankee fans across town are going to be very upset when he's dominating and coming out to the Star Wars themes and everything. And having a good time in Queens. The second thing, as an outsider to your Mets fandom,
yeah,
I said this last year when they made the playoffs, everybody was up in arms, all the rain out, the Braves, this, that, and then they went and made it to the NLCS. I feel like you guys are ready to pounce and do a lot because you let Alonso go, you let Diaz go. I get it, hurt, especially with Alonso. I've seen Mets fans up in arms, and it's understandable, but I think you guys are going to make strategic and like, really planned moves that you're going to be very happy with, if not this year, over the next years. You'll be like, wow, remember we were so pissed and upset? You're going to be real. As a Yankees fan that's waiting for the Yankees to do something, it feels like it's turning and shifting in the way that it's been over the last few years for you guys.
Well, thanks. I hope you're right. I think that and this isn't fair, but I believe this is going to happen with a lot of people. Definitely with a guy like Joe, maybe with me. I got to see how it plays out. Where the Mets may make these small, key, two-year big-money deals, adding a winner like Jorge Polanco, right? Or adding Luis Robert, who has a renaissance year being with real major leaguers, unlike his time in Chicago. And some of the young players really pan out. Like Carson Bench becomes a star, Nolan McClain's an ace, and the Mets are really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think for some, they will repeat what our last caller said, which is, remember that when we were complaining about Diaz and Alonso? And I think for others, they'll say, we could have been better if we kept Diaz and Alonso. So I don't think it's as simple as when the Mets win, everyone will forget about it. I don't think it works that way.
No, it'll be, we won one, we could have won two or three had we kept those guys.
Or we'd be better.
Right.
Like, we would just be a better team if Pete was here. I think this is going to be traumatizing for a lot of Met fans. I don't think it's as simple as they made a couple of nice, smart two-year deals. Jorge Polanco had a great year. See? It was all worth it. I think it works that way.
Traumatizing.
It is traumatizing. You don't know what it's like, bro.
I do know what it's like.
You don't. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You're a Yankee fan who's had so many legends stay with their team their entire career.
Okay.
And even the Giants have a long history of that. And so I don't think you know what it means when a Met fan suffers at losing Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz a few years after losing Jacob deGrom, a few years after losing Zach Wheeler, a few years after losing Jose Reyes with the scars of Darryl Strawberry. Like, I don't think you get it.
I happen.
Like, what's your example with the Yankees?
It happens to the Rangers all the time.
Okay, with the Yankees, what are your examples?
Andy Pettit.
Andy Pettit. And then he came back.
Okay. Robinson Cano.
Stop it. That's your best example.
Juan Soto.
Come on, he was there for 1 year. You don't have examples.
I just gave you three great examples.
They're not great examples. Yeah. Andy came back. No one even remembers he was an Astro.
So maybe Pete will come back.
Stop it.
Maybe he'll finish off that career.
Don't answer the question with maybe. Answer the question with an answer. And the truth is you don't have an answer.
Luke Weaver.
You don't have an answer. You could joke all you want.
So why
just
does
say,
it only, can I ask you, why does only
You don't base, understand.
Why does, you say me I don't understand. Why does only baseball count in understanding that?
Because I'm using the apples to apples comp. We're talking about the Mets. And even the Giants, you don't have it nearly as much because you have so many guys like Eli Manning or Michael Strahan or Tiki Barber that played their whole... Don't give me Saquon. Do not give me Saquon. He won nothing for you, you bunch of losers.
Actually, I was going to say my favorite player in the world walked away in the prime of his career, left me holding the bag.
Who?
Tiki Barber.
Oh, stop. He retired. It's very different.
Left us.
Oh, now you bring this up when he's not here?
No, I mean, I appreciate now I know why he left us, but it hurt me.
But don't you don't understand is my point.
Sometimes, I do understand. You know when Chris cried to kill me that we lost him?
Stop it.
Why? Because you can't relate? Because you don't have an Islander that feels that way?
No, because
Chris Kreider was my Pete Alonso. I love the Rangers.
We're trying to do apples to apples. Like we're talking baseball. I even tried to bring up football with you.
I don't understand.
You don't understand the pain and the traumatization and the fact that Joe feels violated. You have no idea what that's like.
Why does the same sport make it apples to apples? Your love of a team makes it apples to apples.
No, because I think every sport's different.
So what if I wasn't a baseball fan and I only like the other three sports and I can never compare?
Well, I think cross-sport comparisons work. I just think in this case, you really have a tough time answering this. Like
Watched Andy Pettit pitch in a World Series with the freaking Astros.
And you won World Series with him, and then he came back and you won again.
Okay, but in the time you're sitting right now, if this was Andy Pettit, I didn't know he was coming back.
I'm going to ask the fairest guy here, Connor Green. He doesn't say much, but what he says is powerful. Connor happens to be a Yankee fan. Also happens to be a Jets fan.
I thought he quit on the Jets, but now he's back. Okay.
He's wearing a Jets sweatshirt.
I mostly quit. I'm like 50% out. I'm mostly a Giants fan at this point, but we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
You're wearing a Jets sweatshirt.
I thought about wearing a Giants sweatshirt, but I wore this just in solidarity. But we'll see. I might be a Giants fan by the end of the season.
You're going to work on Craig's show?
Do you think Sean understands or doesn't understand?
I think he understands. I think because not every team he roots for has always been great. So, and he's seen guys leave and guys come and go. And the Rangers is a good, like Chris Kreider is a good example of that. Seeing a great player that he loves leave. With the Yankees, maybe not as much because not as many of their guys will leave. But Juan Soto is a good example.
Juan Soto is not a good example, Connor. He was there for 1 year.
He made a World Series.
Well, so did Mike Hampton.
And
is
most
Mike
Yankee
Hampton
fans.
A good comparison?
Most Yankee fans, I think we just assumed he was going to be here for the next 10 to 15 years. So even though it was just 1 year, we all thought it was going to be a 15-year run with him and Judge.
Exactly.
Or 10-year run, and then he was gone.
I get that you thought that, but it's just not the same. Like, I'm sorry, Mike Hampton is the comp. And we're not walking around here moping about Mike Hampton. Have you moped about, can you believe Mike Hampton
comparing
for the school district of Colorado?
Is Mike Hampton a Hall of Famer? He's not even the stratosphere as Juan
Soto. He was the NLCS MVP. And was one of our best pitchers in a year in which they got to the World Series, which is what you're citing.
It's not the same.
Of course it's the same.
Evan.
In the 1 year that they were here, their impact was kind of the same. Yeah.
You're not being a proper ISO. You're not.
An ISO?
Independent Sports Observer. You're not. You're not allowing you to understand that my love for Chris Kreider and the Rangers equals your love for Pete Alonso and the Mets. You don't understand that.
You don't understand. So I said to him.
Not more accomplished. Better.
Okay. So I said to him, you know what, why don't you text Boomer? Because I think of all the people that work here, with all due respect, we all respect his hockey knowledge and his Ranger fandom. And I was confident that Boomer would put his fandom aside to give an honest opinion on Henrik versus Marty. So I asked Sean to do it. I have no idea if he texted Boomer, but I did hear a caller to the morning show this morning bring this up. So I'd like to play some clips, first with the caller describing our show in a way that should make Sean Morash very happy.
Hi, morning. I was listening to the evening show with Morash and the other lunatic there, but he had a take.
And the other lunatic there. So I'm honored to just be the other lunatic there. Well, Sean, credit to you. You got a name check.
That's great. I mean, clearly he knew Tiki was off. That was a good start.
Yes.
But yeah, the other lunatic. I think that fits you well.
And the evening show fits perfectly because I've been saying this. When the clocks turn and it's 5 o'clock, we do a night show because it is pitch black outside. So I even want to say to the callers, good evening. It is not good afternoon anymore. It's good evening.
You know, if there's a day in world where, you know, Tiki decides to retire and it's just me and you left here, Evan.
It's not going to happen that way, but okay.
I think that is the show name, Sean and the Other Lunatic.
Sean and the Other Lunatic.
The tide turns.
So here's the caller now asking Boomer point blank, did you get the text message from Sean Morash?
He had a take and he was going to text Boomer and wait for his reply in the morning. So I want to know if Boomer received that. It was a take on Brodeur versus Lundqvist.
No, I did not get a text from Sean Morash regarding Brodeur or Lundqvist. I don't know. What was he asking me? Like, who's the better goalie?
Why didn't you text Boomer? We went over this yesterday. Like, hey, we respect Boom. Just text him his opinion. And Boomer just confirmed this morning he never got a text from you. Why?
He's lazy.
Because I have respect for Boomer and understand on a Wednesday night, the last thing he wants is to get a text from me about Lundqvist
Bro,
and Brodeur.
If he doesn't want to get the text message, he'll ignore it. Like, it's text messages. It's not like you're ringing his doorbell.
I don't want to continue to be ignored by Boomer, so I'd rather not be
ignored. Who cares if he ignores you?
I'm trying
to
respect
you get offended if someone ignores you? There's probably a good reason for it.
I'm just trying to respect the man and his time. His time away. Not everybody wants to be 24-7 at the station when they're not at the station.
Oh, my God.
And Boomer strikes me as a guy who just wants his peace.
He actually sounded disgusted that you didn't text him. Based on that clip, and we've got more, it sounded like Boomer knew the text was coming. Like someone approached him wherever he was and said, hey, did you hear that lunatic saying, blah, 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 he's going to text you. And Boomer was like, I didn't get a text. Because he kind of sounded agitated.
I knew at the time you asked me to text him, I said that Boomer was out. He was out with Wally Szczerbiak. They were enjoying some beverages.
Was that with Wally Szczerbiak?
He was.
Confirm. How do you know Boomer's like night schedule? That's weird.
A friend of mine saw him out and had texted me 10 minutes before that segment.
So now you're stalking Boomer?
I'm not. He's like, do you think Boomer's approachable? Should I go up and say hello to him?
Okay. All right, anyhow.
I'm leaving the guy alone.
Whatever. You didn't text him. Anyhow, here is the caller giving his opinion on Henrik versus Marty, with Boomer chiming in.
So Morash, he was dead set that Lundqvist is a better goaltender. And it was a hot debate because there was so many call-ins. But, I mean, personally, I think Brodeur takes the cake there, but I wanted to know what you thought.
Marty Brodeur is a top five goaltender of all time in the NHL. He changed the game the way he played, and they changed the rules because of what he was able to do with the stick. Now, he's like a third defenseman back there, G.
So, by the way, he didn't really answer the question.
He didn't tell us who was on the four goalies.
He just chimed in with, Marty is a top five goaltender of all time. Let's hear more from Boomer to see if he answers the question.
And remember, they changed the rules of hockey because of his ability to handle the puck.
Yeah, I mean, also the neutral zone trap stuff, too.
Yeah, of course, and it helped him, but he was an amazing, amazing player. And he's, I'm telling you, he's probably a top three goaltender, I would say. And, you know, the fact is that Henrik was horrendous with the stick.
Yeah.
He was one of the worst goalies ever handling the puck.
Yeah.
I remember we used to say, just stay in the net, stay in the net.
Okay, so here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then he moved on to talking about Igor Shesterkin, which I cut out because who cares? He knows it's Marty. He basically said it's Marty.
Did he?
He didn't want to point blank say it, though. So instead of it, he just said he's a top. He went from five to three.
Yeah.
Top three goaltender of all time. Took a shot at Lundqvist while putting Marty over, but never gives you the smoking gun of point blank, Sean's an idiot. It's Brodeur over Lundqvist. But clearly, listening to that clip, he is telling you it's Marty Brodeur.
I agree with Boomer that Marty Brodeur is a top five goalie of all time.
No, he said top three.
Top three, with Juan Lundqvist being the other two. I agree with him.
Stop it.
I agree with him that Marty is better with the stick than Lundqvist, and Lundqvist is way better with the glove than Brodeur was.
But don't you think, if he felt Lundqvist was also top three, he would have said it? I didn't cut it out. Like, he put Marty over, took a shot at Lundqvist, and then moved on to modern-day Rangers. So he didn't say it, and I kind of get it. Like, it's a very... I don't want to say that, but I'm going to tell you anyway without saying it.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
I didn't get that vibe.
And again, you didn't get that. Then what vibe did you get out of that answer?
I get the vibe was, I know it's Lundqvist, but if I say that, people are going to get upset because all that counts is all the accomplishments he had. But
Tommy, really, did you take that out of Boomer's answer?
Yes, absolutely. He didn't want to flat out say it, but he said it without saying it.
Which is what? What did he say without saying
it? That Marty Brodeur is a better goaltender than Henrik the King Hank Lundqvist.
I'm glad you guys could say what Boomer said without him actually saying it.
We literally because it's not my fault if Boomer didn't say it point blank.
Well, he's got to say it point blank for it to matter.
Oh, stop it. We played the clips of him answering the question, and he spent 98% of it putting Marty over as one of the greats of all time.
Which
I changed the rules because of him.
I put him over,
so
too.
So what more do you need?
You know what, Sean? You owe Boomer an apology.
No, I don't.
Because you put him in a very tough spot. He is the voice of Ranger fans in this station.
No, he's not.
And he tiptoed around it because he doesn't want Ranger fans coming after him, but he knows deep down Brodeur's the better goalie.
Time out.
So you got to be a politician with that answer.
Time out, because we all agree with that. We can move on. Tommy very casually said something that we all know. He said Boomer is the voice of Ranger fans at this station.
Of course he is. 100%.
And you very quickly said, no, he's not. Is he not?
Boomer is one of the voices of Ranger fans at the station.
Who is the other voice of Ranger fans at the station? I think it's Big Mac?
Me.
Huh.
Wow.
Doesn't a Let's voice... go Rangers. Wait, hold on. Don't voices usually, like, go on Twitter or react or do shows after the game or, like, post videos when they lose and get eliminated? I think that's what a voice would do instead of run and hide like you did.
Tommy, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. You could go throughout this entire regular season and tell me who's tweeted more about the Rangers this year, me or Boomer.
Are you saying you're a bigger Ranger fan than Boomer?
I'm saying Boomer is an enormous Ranger fan that, I'm going to be careful. You know what? He can have it.
Well, what just happened? Why did you just give up in the middle of this?
I think Boomer's a very good Ranger fan. I think I'm more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
More passionate at this stage of my life than Boomer is as he's gotten older.
So he's old, is what you're saying.
I represent the young Ranger fan, and that's fine. Boomer was like me at 38. I think Boomer cares very much, but I think Boomer has bigger priorities in life than to sit there and be so angry every night about this.
You're saying Boomer cares more about golf than the Rangers?
He represents
a geriatric Ranger fan. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say geriatric.
Oh, no, but that's why you say it. I didn't want to put words in your mouth.
Does Boomer care more about golf than the Rangers? My guess would be yes, he does. I don't care more about golf than the Rangers.
By the way, can I tell you why I completely disagree with you?
Okay.
And I say this with respect. This guy shoehorns the Rangers in whenever. Like I do with the Nets. Like, it's the same.
Okay.
And that's because I care about the Nets and no one cares. And Boomer cares about the Rangers. And
I think he's a good Ranger fan.
So how could you say he's not passionate about it when every 5 seconds he wants to actually talk about the Rangers?
I did not say that he wasn't passionate.
Like, you don't hear that? Because I hear that.
I said he's not as passionate about it as I am.
He's not that passionate about it. He wants to bring it up. He shoehorns the Rangers in more than you shoehorn the Rangers in.
You're the king of doing this.
I'm not the king of anything.
You took me saying the Lundqvist thing about Brodeur that I thought Brodeur wasn't a great goalie of all time, and you just said, I didn't say he was passionate. I said he's very passionate. He's not as passionate as me. Big difference.
What started this is Tommy matter-of-factly said Boomer is the voice of Ranger fans at this station, which I completely agree
with. The Godfather.
The voice, you said.
Yeah.
And I said, no, he's not.
He's the voice. And instead of just going with it, you, no, he's not.
Because I have a voice here, and I am as big a Ranger fan, if not bigger than Boomer. So why is he the voice?
I think people care more about what Boomer has to say. I'm sorry.
I know we only have a week left, but I would venture to guess the last 2.5 years has been more Ranger talk ever in Afternoon Drive because I've arrived here than ever before.
Well, now you're comparing yourself to Mike, who didn't want to talk about the Rangers, but to Boomer?
Exactly.
I disagree with you.
Exactly, because horse racing is more important than hockey.
Well, why are you taking shots at Mike now?
Because now you've aggravated.
So I've aggravated you, so you're ripping Mike and horse racing?
I'm just saying.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go.
At least Seabiscuit got more interviews than Henrik Lundqvist did.
Have we angered Sean Tommy?
No, and I love Mike. Now you got me taking shots at him for no reason.
I don't know why Mike is taking any shots right
now. Because the point was, which was true, I've talked more Ranger hockey in Afternoon Drive than any station, any host in the history of the station.
He says that like it's a badge of honor, Tommy.
Yeah, it is a badge of honor.
From everything I've learned, that would be a negative and a bad thing to do. Probably why you're moving to middays. I had to do it. You set me up perfectly, and you're hitting buttons now. But keep talking Rangers. What am I going to say?
You know, Tommy, when you're right, you're right.
Because I felt like I had to say it.
That was the funniest thing you've ever said.
It was very good. You know what? You're primetime Tommy. It is the evening now, so Tommy is shining.
That was good, man. Oh, I'm dying over here. Kevin is in Oakland, New Jersey. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Great show as usual. Sean, congratulations on your 2-year contract.
Thank you, Kevin.
Great. Now I could call you Tubby for 2 more years, man. I'm the guy who called you Tubby yesterday.
Thank you. Not as good as Fat Leonard, Kevin. Not as good as Fat Leonard.
Well, no, that's not. I agree. But listen, keep talking hockey, though, Tommy. Not Tommy. You don't talk hockey. Sean, but great job always. I'm going to miss having you guys on in the afternoons now because I can't listen as much. But Boomer basically did say Brodeur was better.
I know.
You said basically, so he didn't say it.
Because
would that pass in the court of law?
Because sometimes on sports talk radio, you say things without directly saying it.
See, that you never have to worry about that with me. I always directly say it, which makes me the more passionate Ranger fan.
Okay. Let's go to Steve in Rybrook. What's up, Steve?
So, guys, I appreciate you taking the call. And just before the break, Evan, you basically said that only Mets fans could understand a lack of loyalty that Mets ownership has shown over the years. And by the way, that means no matter who the owner is, we've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But taking emotions out of it, right? All the emotions aside,
yep.
Loyalty aside, I just want to talk stats. Yep. Pete Alonso, 2019 has the third most home runs behind Judge, Schwarber, then Alonso at 264. The most RBIs in all of baseball, 712. Olson is behind him at 679. The most extra base hits, you have Ohtani at 472, Alonso at 455. Most games played, Alonso at 1,008. And then all over fielding, everybody wants to knock Alonso's fielding. He's at a .992 and a .95. So you're talking about a premier first baseman, period. He's irreplaceable in today's market. Where are we going to get those numbers and that man that's going to make the difference? And everyone's kind of glossing over and saying, well, we're going to be happy in 2 years from now. I want to be happy this year. I don't know if you guys agree.
No, I want to be happy this year, too. And I think the answer to your question is a really depressing answer, which is they're not replacing him. The Mets are going to try to win differently. He's not Albert Pujols, but when the Cardinals lost Albert Pujols, they were never replacing Albert Pujols. They were just going to try to win differently. And so if they add Jorge Polanco, which they have, so they've added Jorge Polanco. Let me use that in the past tense. And if they add Cody Bellinger, and if they trade Kodai Senga to Houston for Christian Walker, it's a very different lineup, and none of those guys are Pete Alonso, but the Mets score 5 runs per game, and their pitching's really good. Sure, they can win 90 games, and the Mets are good, right? There's a way the Mets can be good without Pete Alonso, but to replace the production you just described, they're not. He's a very unique player, and his uniqueness is the fact that he plays all the time, and I think that has been devalued by people over the last few weeks. It's just devalued. Yeah. Even talking about Cody Bellinger, like, but Cody's so much better defensively, but Cody's such a better athlete. Cody plays less. He just does. Those are the facts. But almost everyone plays less than Pete. And that's a very important attribute that I think people are glossing over.
Counterpoint, the amount that Pete plays, doesn't you think that's going to add to the quicker wear down?
I don't. I don't have any evidence of it. I mean, you're trying to predict the future, and I don't have any evidence that age 31 and 32 and 33, he's going to get hurt and not play a lot or be ineffective. I have no evidence of that.
You don't think the more games you play as you get over 30, the likelier it is to get hurt and wear down?
Well, let me ask you this way.
All right.
So Cody Bellinger's missed time to various injuries.
Mm-hmm.
What would concern you more? A guy that's not played because of injuries at a younger part of their career, all of a sudden just being healthy in their mid-30s, or a guy who's never had injuries and has played all the time? What would scare you, the wear and tear or the guy who's actually been injured?
Oh, definitely wear and tear. However...
What? Definitely wear and tear would scare you more than guys who literally just got hurt and that's why they didn't play?
Well, I consider the tear the guys who have been injured. I thought wear and tear represented Bellinger.
No, wear and tear is just playing a lot like Pete.
Okay, I consider that.
So you're agreeing with me, Cody would concern you just a little bit more.
But Cody's also kept his body in better shape.
Based on what? Based on your eye test?
Yeah, Pete's a mushier guy. Bellinger's in better shape.
Pete plays every game. So for all the great shape that Cody's in, Cody missed games.
Exactly.
Pete doesn't.
But if you're
not exactly. But if your body shaming isn't backed up by like evidence.
But in your 30s, what body type do you think is going to hold up better? A mushier guy or a guy that's in good shape?
It's tough to look at someone's body and say, I'm going to project how often they're going to play. I think the best way to do it is by looking at their history. And the history of Pete Alonso says he plays all the time. I have zero evidence that that's going to change.
Okay.
Do you think he's going to break down, honestly?
Over the course of his five-year deal? Yeah, I don't think it's the next 2 years. I think he will... Breakdown's the wrong word. Do I think he's going to start declining? Because I think that, you know, his body is meant to decline in his mid-30s.
And you don't think Cody Bellinger would decline, even though 3 years ago he was unplayable?
I didn't say I didn't think he wouldn't decline, but I have more faith that he won't.
See, that I just disagree with. And... It's not that I wouldn't want Bellinger on my team because he does offer a lot of attributes that Pete doesn't have. But I think what we're doing is shortchanging the reliability factor of Pete Alonso.
And you don't think the position Cody Bellinger's played has, you know, not hurt him in injuries? Like the outfield, you're more likely to get hurt than sitting at first base.
Sure, I don't deny that.
Okay, so if Cody in his 30s is strictly a first baseman, you don't think he's more likely to stay in better health?
Maybe, maybe not. But are they signing him to play first base or are they signing him to play a corner outfield spot and possibly some center?
But corner outfield for 2 years and then first base in 3 years.
I don't know that. I don't know if that's what ultimately is going to be the plan. My point only is, to our last caller's point, they're not replacing Pete Alonso. We just have to get over it. They're not. They're not replacing a guy whose stats we can put up against him. Like Kyle Schwarber was absolutely a replacement for Pete Alonso. You could argue Kyle was better, right? With the slugging numbers of the last couple of years. They're not doing that. It's just going to be different.
Thank you, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night New York presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SMY.
Let's go to Joey in Queens. Good afternoon. Good evening, Joey.
How's it going, Evan?
Good.
Love the show. Tommy, congratulations on your new show. I'm so glad you brought up the idea of having college kids watch the NBA Cup Championship, because I also have ideas for the NBA, and I wanted to run it by you and see what you guys thought.
Go. Is it ideas that you have, or did you accidentally hear Adam Silver say it the way I did?
It's an idea I have, but I've never heard anyone else say it. So I think it's my idea.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so you know how the NHL uses a point system to keep track of wins and losses?
Yes.
All right, so what if the NBA did that, and they use a point system, and for every time a team wins a quarter, you get a point. And if they're tied, they split a point. And if you win the game, you get 6 points. That way,
oh god,
you get to sit at you're at the edge of your seat at every quarter. And the guy who says if you want to watch an exciting NBA game, watch the last 2 minutes of the game. 2 minutes of the game can no longer say that.
Well, Joey, it's an interesting idea. Can I give you Rick Barry's idea? The legendary Rick Barry, Hall of Famer Rick Barry,
great free throw shot.
You ready for his idea? It's similar to what he said, but less confusing, because he's doing points and all that kind of stuff. He said the NBA should play two halves as a game. So the first half is a game, like tennis. It's a game. It's a match. If you win the first half, you're up 1-0. If you tie the second half, you win. You win 1-1. It's a win. We move on. If you lose the second half, we play in overtime, which would make the first half very important. So you're not going to just put the last 2 minutes on. Same thing with the second half. And yes, it would lead to probably more overtime games, which are really, really exciting. So Rick Barry's idea was to make it like a best of three, like a tennis match.
So you have to walk out of there with two wins no matter what.
Or a win and a tie. Because I guess if you win the first half 50-38, and then you finish in a 50-50 tie in the second half, it's 1-0, and that's it. You win. So that's, I guess, a way you could win. Your thoughts?
Man,
my idea, Rick Barry's idea.
So I am actually open-minded to it. I always hate asking a fan pounding tall boys in the crowd to start doing math. You know,
it's not math. It's just win the first half. It's like tennis. It's actually very similar to tennis.
I guess because you're resetting the scoreboard.
It all starts over. So who won the first half? You got to win the half.
Okay.
And what it makes you do is watch the first half. Because his point was the old adage is all I got to do is watch the last 2 minutes. Yeah, you got to watch the last two minutes of the first half and the second half.
Yeah. And to be fair, overall, the first half is very not needed.
Now you'll need it.
Okay. I'm open to it.
Joe is in Dix Hills. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
To tack on to your NBA Cup idea, one of the things I love, or I'd like to see also, is if a team wins that isn't going to make the isn't making the playoffs, they should get double balls. And if you do make the playoffs, you should get maybe 10 or 15 lottery balls in the lottery. But that's not what I called about.
Yes.
I called with a good nickname for the Mets debacle, the 24 hours that we all know and now disdain.
Go.
I got three of them for you.
Go ahead.
I got Stearns Big Dump.
Stearns
Big Dump. Dropping the deuce on Flushing. And flushing the deuce.
I see a theme.
Yeah, it's dump. Those are all very crappy.
The big dump. It kind of does fit because even though they're not dumping the players and
big
getting
dump,
they are dumping. You know, they kind of are
dumping salary. I guess
it's not. I mean, it's losing players, but it works. It fits. Rob on Long Island. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. I wanted to chime in on this Ranger discussion real quick with Sean. I have three quick things to say. Number one, I am a Ranger fan. I think what Sean meant to say is that Lundqvist is a better-looking goaltender than Brodeur. We can all agree on that, number one.
Well, that's for
number
sure.
Number two, I think, Sean, it's time for another Rangers from another letter from the Rangers because this team is just a mess, and they just need to just blow it all up. And number three, as far as comparing your fandom to Boomers, the only thing I would say is I think Boomer is more for the people because 2 years ago during the playoffs, you promised my wife that you were going to meet her for a drink during a playoff game, and you totally blew her off because now you're a public figure, and I guess you're just too important for the common Ranger fans. Boomer would never have done that.
Wow. Rob just body bagged you.
Rob, at the escalator of Madison Square Garden Saturday, I sat kindly and took pictures with every Ranger fan that came up to me. Okay.
How many Ranger fans came up to you, Sean?
Three. Every single one of those three.
Not bad.
They were all together. Look, I remember that. Yeah, I didn't have her number. I had pregame beers. I'm sorry. I would love to have a beer with her. I'm going to UBS Arena next Saturday. If she's there, let's go. Belmont all pregame. That's all I can offer you. What am I going to tell you? I shouldn't have told you where I was going to be next. Probably should have done that.
You do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I can't believe you blew off his wife. That's really disrespectful.
Don't you find it a little odd that he wanted me to oil check his wife pregame?
He never said that. You just made that up. He just wanted to take a picture, and you said that you were. And you ditched her, and you ditched him. You're not a man of the people the way Boomer is. That's his point.
By the way, I'm sure Boomer would have been walking in the same halls as his wife at that Madison Square Garden to take that picture, huh?
What are you saying?
I don't even know what I'm saying. You're making me take shots at Boomer. I love Boomer.
He's got a secret entrance. He goes through the
you
spike.
You think Boomer has a secret entrance?
No. Boomer is a man of the people.
Boomer
drives the truck right up to the front entrance.
Boomer
walks right
is
the main door.
No, he's not walking up those main stairs to the main door. There's zero shots.
It's not the 80s anymore. He goes right through the main door.
How do you think he's getting in when he goes to the garden?
He goes through that Lexus VIP entrance.
Don't even let Spike Lee through that entrance.
Oh, they let Spike through that entrance.
What was the entrance gate with Spike Lee? Remember like he wanted to go through an entrance and they wouldn't let him?
Yeah.
It was the press entrance?
I think it might have been something like, I forgot the exact entrance.
Boomer goes to the theater at MSG and sneaks up the back
no,
elevator.
No, he does not.
Definitely.
Come on, stop.
Sean, you need Boomer to retire because as long as he's at this station, he's the king of Ranger fans and you're just a court jester.
Court jester.
Was that what I said?
No, you said court gesture.
Same thing. You know what I mean.
Why are we putting Ranger fans against each other? Me and Boomer love each other. Stop it.
We did not put Ranger fans against each other. You did.
No, you did. But talked me into a pretzel.
Tommy made a very simple comment about Boomer being like the Ranger guy at the station. And instead of just letting it go, you responded with, no, he's not.
Because he knew what he was doing. He's discrediting me.
Tommy, you're exonerated. Don't worry.
It's okay. And I think what Sean doesn't realize here is there are rankings. There's the biggest Met fan at the station. We all know that's Evan. There's the biggest Yankee fan at the station. We all know that's McMonagle.
Oh.
There's the biggest Giant fan at the station. That's me. And we all know there's the biggest Ranger fan at the station. That's Boomer. So there's a pecking order. And one day, sport, maybe you'll get to the top of the mountain, but it takes time. You can't just claim it on the air. You know, the people make that decision.
You are having one of your greatest days.
Thank you. I'll take the rest of the year off. I'll see you on January 5th at 7 p.m.
You can't do that. You got to make sure I don't make mistakes, Friday.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, Friday's going to be a really fun show. Not only is Big Mac and Craig stopping by, which I'm looking forward to. Yeah. Yeah, they're both coming on the show. You okay with that?
I'm actually okay with it. They just got to make sure I'm, you know, playing breaks on time.
Yeah, so while that happens, Sean is learning how to press the buttons behind the scenes. The first time.
Are you okay with this, though, Evan?
Am I okay with what?
Because I'm a little, I think ultimately Sean will be a good board up, but that first day, we just let him sink or swim?
Yeah.
Should I step in if things are going haywire, if we're off the air for 2 minutes? Like, we're just going to allow Sean to
Tommy,
sink or swim?
I don't mean to belittle the job you did. I was told by management the board runs itself. So if there's any mistake,
sure,
it's not my...
Sure, that to be the case, but I don't know if it does.
It is not my fault. It's the board's fault.
We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019. And very important for Giant fans, because I haven't had a chance to play this, and I really want to play it for you guys. Eli Manning decided to show up to John Cena's final match just to take a shot at Tom Brady and the Patriots. We'll let you hear that coming up. It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
You're listening to
Barash. And the other lunatic there.
On The Fan, WFAN New York.
Very well done. That's what this show is called when Tiki is off. Marash and that other lunatic. Coming up tonight, I guess we got a full night of sports talk, right? We got the Luge Hour into 5 hours of Big Mac. Is that the schedule this evening?
That is the schedule.
Very nice. I was weirded out last night because Luigi stayed on till 8.
I did.
What was up with that?
There's a reason for that. So now that Big Mac is a big shot, he makes big claims, and he went to upper management and cried because he did the overnight the night before, and he needed an extra hour to rest up. So that's why I stayed on till 8. Because he's a big shot now.
About tonight? Like, is he coming out at 7
or
8?
Well, now the baby had enough sleep, so he can come on at 7 o'clock.
Well, the baby will join us on Friday. Both Big Mac and Craig will stop by at 4 o'clock, so you can tell Chris to his face that he's a big baby.
Oh, I told him that yesterday.
And what did he say?
Well, it's about time you start carrying your weight around here, pal. You've only been doing half-hour shows. Now you're going to do five-hour shows, blah, blah, blah.
I go, now that you're an afternoon drive and you're afternoon Big Mac, you're calling a lot of shots around here having me stay till 8 o'clock.
Good for Big Mac.
But I don't mind. I like the extra.
I'm on Team Big Mac in this regard.
Yeah, Big Mac deserves this.
Damn right.
I didn't say he didn't deserve it. What do you mean? Well, hold on. I didn't say he didn't. You're making it like I said he didn't deserve it. I never said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like the story being flipped on you and bad-mouthing people?
Oh, see what you did here, Evan.
The best thing for this station on January 5th is that me and Tommy get separated.
I completely agree with
the
that.
The internet disagrees.
It's the best thing for our careers, man.
The internet wants you guys together.
They don't think we should break up this rivalry, but, you know, that's what's happening.
Yeah, the final ever Lugash debate series will occur on our final afternoon program Friday, January 2nd. That's right. We are coming back to do that show. And the Lugash debate series is all set. Who has the better job moving forward? Tommy Lugauer as primetime Tommy doing after hours starting at 7 o'clock? Or Sean Morash as a part of Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash being on this program? So it'll be a fun debate.
It is shut up!
No, you shut up! No, you shut up! It's the final,
stupid.
It's the final Lugash debate series on January 2nd. Real quick. John Cena retired on Saturday, and one of the things they did is they had all these celebrities say goodbye to him. Like, John, you're great. We're going to miss you. Eli Manning popped in. Would you like to hear Eli Manning taking a shot at the Massachusetts native John Cena?
Sure.
Here he is. Future Hall of Famer, just not this year, Eli Manning.
You inspired so many people. You won a ton of championships. Almost impressive enough for me to forget the fact that you're a diehard Patriots fan. But hey, I guess no one's perfect, including the 07 Patriots.
Like, the whole thing was corny. even though nobody's perfect, the throwing in just like the 07 Patriots, dang.
If you were Eli Manning, wouldn't you use that every single time you could?
I think he does.
I know, but wouldn't you if you were Eli?
Yes.
Yeah, like that's the ultimate card to play.
I think when you look at Eli Manning's career, and he had a wonderful, wonderful career. He is not a first ballot Hall of Famer, as we've seen. I don't even think he's going to be a second ballot Hall of Famer. But the best argument on Eli Manning's resume is being the quarterback that knocked off the undefeated, unbeatable, unpetrinable, unpenetratable New England Patriots. Like, I think his Hall of Fame resume, even as a two-time Super Bowl MVP, would actually be just not as impressive if it didn't include one of those Super Bowls coming against an undefeated perfect team.
They were going to be the undeniably the greatest team in NFL history, and now I'm not sure that we can even consider them that.
I think they're very similar to that 73-win Warrior team.
Yeah.
The difference is the 73-win Warrior team came back the next year by stealing one of its rivals' best players and then won a few more championships. Sure. It took the Patriots a few more years before they won another Super Bowl. It was a very different team when they finally did it.
And how different is Randy Moss's career?
I mean, it's different, no doubt about it. But yeah, I think Eli Manning should bring it up any chance he gets. No question. Let's go to Lori in Ocean Township. Hey, Lori.
Hey, Evan. I just wanted to bring up something that I'm surprised Tommy and Sean didn't notice because they kept wanting you to wear the L over the Adam Silver thing with their NBA observation.
Yeah.
So you were very adamant that you didn't steal the idea after it was brought to your attention.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And saying that you wrote it on your, your show sheet.
That's
last
right.
Week.
A couple of weeks ago, like a week ago, yes.
But when you set up the segment, I actually rewound the Odyssey app just because I was like, it sounds wrong. You set it up by saying, while you were watching the game last night, you were wondering, how can this be more unique? So you said last night you thought of it.
That's true. That was creative license. I'll tell you why I did that. That's a good one.
Is a fraud and a complete liar.
That's why you should download the Odyssey app, that rewind.
That was well done. It's because I wanted to add color to my idea that I had a week ago. Because I had it written down. But the way to add color is, I'm thinking about it last night. I was not thinking about it last night. I had it done for a week.
Seems like an awfully convenient cover story, I have to be honest.
Evan, lesson learned, it should be, I meant to get to this, but I was re-reminded last night.
You're right. The reason I don't love doing I meant to get to this, and maybe I should get over it, is it makes it feel like it's such a not important topic to bring up that I forgot about it. No. That's why when I say that, I regret saying it. Because it's like, well, now you're bringing it up, so you're saying this part of your radio show means less than a week ago or a day ago when you originally thought of it. So she got me, but the truth is, because I wanted to add color to my idea as opposed to, I thought of this a week ago, I had it down on my sheet, and I never got to it.
That's a tough kayfabe moment here for you.
It's true, but I'm being honest.
Now you are. Now you're being honest.
Well, I mean, sometimes I think you take a little creative license.
I give you so much credit. Lori, that's a great job.
I'll tell you, our listeners are something else.
And that's why you didn't get to it, because our listeners are something else. We take so many great calls like Lori's, and you couldn't get to
that's
it.
True. This Odyssey app is the death of all of us.
Yeah.
It's mostly been the death of Sean and Tommy with the old opinions we pulled up. But today, Lori crushed me. That's a good job by her. Because most people listening are like, Evan's full of crap.
Right, exactly.
And I accept that. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I just love the idea of going, I don't think that's what he said, and rewinding. It's incredible.
Zach's in Massapequa. Hey, Zach.
Hey, I love this show. Yeah, the internet definitely will miss Sean and Loogie. I'm telling you that now. But anyway, so what I did call about, and actually before I get there, Brodeur is triple the goalie Lundqvist ever could be. He's won the game for his team double the amount of times than Lundqvist ever did. Sean, how can you say that Bellinger projects better than Pete Alonso in terms of health simply because he looks better? Like Giancarlo Stanton plays for the Yankees.
Yes. Zach, I'm glad you brought this up. And this is going to sound crazy.
It's a great point.
It's not a great point. There's also...
It is a great...
No, hold on. Hear me out. I know how this is going to sound, but I also think I'm accurate. Anybody honestly would understand this. Giancarlo Stanton also is in too good a shape. Like, his muscles are just wound way too tight.
I do understand that. I think, and this is where I guess we differ, and maybe everybody differs. I put more on track record than anything in determining that. And I think that body shaming a person or looking at one's body to try to figure it out, I think is less accurate than just looking at the body of work. Forget the actual body. Look at the body of work. And the body of work of a guy like Pete Alonso, despite his awkward frame, is that he is an Iron Man. That's the reality. Since 2019, even the 2020 season during the pandemic, he played 57 of 60 games. Like, he is an Iron Man. And so while you're right, like anything can happen, right? It's baseball. I mean, of course, yes. Could he have a major injury and all this gets derailed? Of course. But if you're asking me to be a betting man on who will stay healthier, I'm going to do it more based on track record than the way a guy looks. Because I don't think that matters as much as what a guy has done.
You're right. And I should probably take back everything I said about Pete, because it also dawned on me, and I was reminded of this by my wife. A year ago, a doctor saw me, examined me, and said, I am the healthiest person at my weight and body figure that they had ever seen in their life. And if I could have that, then why would I not assume Pete could stay healthy?
First of all, do you think Pete Alonso and you have the same body?
He's a little taller and a little stronger, but overall we're still, I bet the same. We're fit fat.
And Pete Alonso's not fat. Like, why are people saying
and
this?
And you're not fit. Sean? I'm not fat. I'm fit fat. He's fit fat.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Why are you saying no? Yes.
Because you're saying something that's untrue. I mean,
stronger than me, sure, but we have like the same body type. We're both like thicker human beings.
You know what my dad said to me yesterday about you? Oh. And he likes you.
I like your dad.
He likes you. And it was innocent. He's like, does Sean ever admit when he's wrong?
Yeah, all the time.
Very simple. And I said to him, Tommy, you tell me if I'm right. I think I gave him an honest answer. I said, like off the air when it comes to work, yes. But when it comes to sports opinions, no. Like, he is the most hard-headed person I've ever
met. He moves the goalposts a lot, for sure.
Which
means that he doesn't admit to failure, and even when he knows he's beat, he'll move the goalposts, which means he'll try to change the argument.
Guys, absolutely. Like, when it comes to work, I think he's more like, you know what?
My bad.
I'll fix it, which is great, because if he didn't, we'd probably have a big issue. But when it comes to sports... I said to my dad, no, he's one of the most hard-headed people I've ever met.
90 seconds ago, I just admitted I was wrong on the Pete and Bellinger thing. That's what just started your argument about me not admitting I was wrong.
When did you admit you were wrong?
Told you why I realize I'm wrong, because I also
That wasn't healthy. You admitting you were wrong. That was you trying to put yourself over
on some Adonis. No, I admitted I was wrong.
Stop it. That's not true. You never admit you're wrong.
I admitted I was wrong that Soto wouldn't sign with the Yankees.
I mean, kind of that one we were forced to.
I admit it. I was wrong about the Knicks handling the NBA Cup.
He's trying to live. Keep going. I don't have enough wrongs before I believe you. Any more?
No, I got nothing else.
You're wrong about Brian Daboll. You're wrong about Joe Shane.
Wrong about Juan Soto re-signing with the Yankees.
I already said that.
You already said that one.
You were wrong about the Rangers winning a cup a couple years ago.
You're wrong about what you thought was going to happen to Tommy. Remember what you told me? They're going to fire him.
I said, they're not going to fire him. What do you mean they're going to fire me? What kind of prediction is that?
Let's just say I thought it was after hours of BT coming.
By the way, I am not going home. I'm going to do a RICO. So
Excuse
anyone?
Me?
Yeah, I'm going to go do a RICO in my office.
I'm glad you brought that up here. Because I think we're going to have the Evening Wars here coming up soon. There's going to be a lot of live Ricos going up against After Hours. Game on, my friend.
Oh!
Game on. That's all I got to say.
I wouldn't call that a war. I'd call that a massacre.
Oh, really? Would you? All right.
Again with the Midnight Massacre. Again with the Midnight Massacre.
He loves that word. He's fixated on
it. Tonight it'll be a 6:30 p.m. massacre. But no, I'm going to do a Rico in my office. We'll break down Luke Weaver and 9 other Met topics. Here's what's beautiful. It's not a fight. If you want Tommy saying, the Knicks are going to win the title. 888-808-1019.
How'd you know that was my open? Did you see my notes?
You got that. If you want geeky Mets talk, which some may want, some may not want, totally respect it, you got that on the Rico. That'll be live on YouTube coming up in about 5 minutes. And then you can download it wherever you download your podcast.
And I'm taping One Giant Step at 8, so I got to go.
Why are you taping it? It should be live.
I can't go live because Tommy's live and I respect his show.
You don't buy that, right, Tommy?
Not
first of all, Tommy's not even on. Big Mike's on.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I will go live.
Either way, Tommy's coming up. Primetime Tommy, followed by Primer Time Big Mac at 7 o'clock. And then you get a full night of sports talk, and we're back tomorrow at 2. Enjoy your evening. Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.